We are in Nisivot Shalom. We are having a special, separate shiur on Nisivot Shalom from Chelek Aleph of the Nisivot Shalom. The additional volumes, the first volume of the additional volumes. It's on Ha'osek Batorah. He has a separate section on learning Torah. The first piece, Ha'osek Batorah Lishma, learning Torah Lishma, page Kuf Mem Zayin, to be mechazek, to enlighten, to enliven our Torah learning for the second half of the Zman, wherever you may be doing your Zman. This is back. Wherever you may be doing your Zman, everybody even got a sheet, pass it around. There's sheets coming around. Anybody who, wherever you may be, whether you're here in the room with us in Shana Aleph, midway through Shana Aleph, or you're just you're in between semesters of college or grad school, or just halfway through the year of your life this year. We're in the halfway point and it's tough. And let's see if we can re-energize ourselves, re-excite ourselves for what it means to learn Torah Lishma. Says the Nisivo Shalom, Rabbi Meir says, Kol ha'osek b'Torah Lishma. Anybody who learns Torah Lishma, what you all are zocha to be able to do all day, every day here, and what so many people wish they could do all day, every day. Ha'osek b'Torah Lishma. Anybody who learns Torah Lishma, zocha l'dvarim harbe, is zocha to so many things, merits so many things. Below, and not only that, Ela shekol ha'olam kulo kedai hulo. The whole world is for, it's mamish like it's for him. Nikra Rea Ohe Ahuv, Ohevet Hamakom, Ohevet Abriot Vechule. He's called the friend that is beloved, who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who loves the whole world. Umilav Shato Anavavi Yirah Vechule. And such a person who is Torah Lishma, they're clothed in humility, they're clothed in Yirat Shamayim. V'nehanim mimenu eitza v'tushia. And they enjoy from that person the ability, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ability, the advice. Yeshua, v'notenet lo malchut u'memshala, and such a person who mamish is learning Torah Lishma, kingship, rulership, u'megalin lo razei Torah, and the secrets of Torah are revealed to such a person, v'naaseh k'ma'ayan amit gaberu k'nahar she'ino posik v'chule, and is made like a spring that just is overflowing with water, like a river that's whose banks are coming over. It's mamish, everything in the world comes to a person who's learning Torah Lishma. So says the Nesivo Shalom, Sarich lahadir, we have to understand. Mahu eset Torah lishma. We have to clarify. We have to codify. What does it mean to learn Torah lishma? What is Torah lishma? We throw around the term all the time. Again, you're doing it all the time. People listening might be doing it for an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 50 minutes a day, whatever it is. We say the importance, we talk about the importance of Torah lishma. But what is Torah lishma? What does lishma mean? V'lama eino omer kol ha'osek b'Torah lishmo yiparach. It says Torah lishma, but it should say learn Torah lishmo. Learn Torah for God's sake. Learn Torah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. Ma zeh Torah lishma? What's Torah for its sake? Is that even what it means? Odi shlavim. You also have to understand. B'mama Rabbi Meir, and the statement of Rabbi Meir, shezocheh ledvarim harbe, that a person who learns Torah lishma merits many things. V'chashiv azil kohani ma'alot, and then he goes on to list all of the things that a person is zocha to. Shebevada yish bazekav klali lechol ha'inanim halalu. There must be some sort of common denominator in all the things listed in this Mishnah. What unifies these things that he listed together? If they're all coming to me because I'm learning Torah lishma, what unifies them? Why these things? Why are these the things that come for Torah lishma? What unifies them together? It's not listening just all good things. They're specific. There must be one source, one root of all of these things that we listed in the Mishnah. Hakasher, hakashur, which connect us to learning Torah lishma. And on the flip side, why is it that Torah Lishma gives us these things and something else doesn't? There are so many other mitzvot that we do. Why is Dafka Torah Lishma what gives us all of these things, makes us zocheh to all of these things? What's the significance? What's the meaning of Torah Lishma? And why are these the things that we get? What's the common denominator? And why Dafka do they come through Torah Lishma as opposed to anything else? V'chazal itan, Chazal it says, Masechet Sota, ala pasuk, kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Very, very famous pasuk that's quoted all the time in the context of Talmud Torah. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. That a mitzvah is like a candle. A mitzvah is like a candle. But Torah is like a burning fire. A mitzvah is like a candle and Torah is like a burning fire. That's the pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says the Gemara. The pasuk is clearly linking a mitzvah to be like a candle and Torah to be like a fire. Mashal adam sheyama alich beishon laila v'afela. It gives a mashal to a person who's walking in the darkness of night. Mamish can't see anything. Umitjarei min akutzim v'apichatim. And he's afraid of the thorns and the thistles and all the things that can mess him up on the road. Umin alisim, he's worried that robbers might jump him on the road. Ve'eino yodea be'eza derech malik, doesn't know which way to go. He's walking in darkness, mamish. Hidlik et haner. If such a person lights a candle, nitzol min haborot v'akotzim. Such a person who lights a candle in that darkness on that road, they're saved from falling into a pit that's in front of them. They're saved from the thorn bushes that are going to get in their way. He's still afraid of the robbers, meaning they could still come from any side. He could see exactly what's in front of him. He could save himself what's in front of him. But the listim, these robbers, these bandits, could still attack him from any side. But once the sun comes up, once that fire is there, once that clear light is there, that light that's much bigger than that simple candle, he's saved from everything. We have to understand, what is the maila of Torah? What's the advantage of Torah over mitzvot? That mitzvot ein achinam, mitzvot are a candle. And it's very beautiful, and that helps light the way. But the pasuk and the Gemara that comments on the pasuk is clearly stating that Torah is somehow significantly more impactful than the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah is a candle. It'll light the way. But the Torah is mamish an or. It's mamish a light that's going to clear up everything in a way that even a mitzvah can't do. So what's going on? V'inei amru Chazal say, Alpayim shana kadma Torah le'olam. The Medrash tells us that Torah preceded the world by 2,000 years. 2,000 years before the world was created, the Torah in its pure spiritual essence was already there. Oditad also says in Masechet Shabbat, Tanai hitna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maaseh Bereishit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with creation. When he created the world, he created the world on condition. Im mikablim Yisrael et HaTorah mutav. I'm creating you, he says to the world, Bereishit bara Elokim. I'm creating you, world. I'm creating the universe, but on condition. If Bnei Yisrael, later on in history, if they accept the Torah, then you can keep going on. If Bnei Yisrael, later on in history, don't accept the Torah, v'im lav, achzira ta'olam l'tov avohu. If they don't accept it, there was no real legitimacy to your existence, and I will return everything back to nothingness. That was the condition that God created the world with. I'm creating you on condition that Bnei Yisrael receive the Torah. If they reject the Torah, you're returning to tohu bavohu. You're returning to nothing. La'avin hakesher shel kiyum ha'olam im haTorah. How do we understand this connection between the continuation, the continued establishment of the world and Torah? Yesh la'avin al pi ha'muvah b'svarim hakadoshim b'shorash ha'lashon v'riat ha'olam sh'milashon ha'alam. We have to understand it from the creation of the world itself, the wording of the creation of the world itself, Briat ha'olam, that the word olam, the word world, in Hebrew, olam, is milashon he'elam. It's from the lashon of hidden, hiddenness. Shekol ha'olamot el yonim, gavoha mi'al gavoha, that all of the upper worlds, going up and up and up, all the way on high, all the spiritual roots of reality. Kulam mi'irim u'mazhirim mi'or lokotoy parach. Every single one of them is lit up from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is at the source. That's what gives life to everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, the Or Ein Sof, the infinite light of the infinite one. The Or Ein Sof is the source of all things. And it works its way down through every single world, every single layer of reality. And that's what gives life to each layer as it goes through. And that's what gives life to us all the way down here in the physical world that we live in. But it's that or, it's that light of godliness that starts at the top, comes all the way down. And it's what gives us life here in this world. And that's true also in this physical world that we live in. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His glory fills the entirety of the world. But in order that there should be Bechira Chofshit, that light is hidden, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu spreads that light, the light of the Ein Sof, His infinite light. And it comes down into the world. It gives life to the world. It sustains the world. We're here because of that light. We exist because of that light. That's why we're here. But if that light were clear, if that aura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shined brightly and clearly, and we were looking at the brilliance of the light of the Infinite One, there would be no free will. There would be no choice in this world. If you were staring the light of God in the face, could you really sin? Could you really go against His will? Could you really do an Aveira? It would be impossible. It would be impossible to look God in the face, so to speak, and sin. The only way that we can truly have Bechira Chofshit, the only way that we can truly have freedom of choice, and freedom of choice is what makes life meaningful. Without choice, we're just puppets. If we didn't have free will, we're just puppets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing a game. With free will, that means the choice is mine, and I have a real choice between Tov and Ra. I have a real choice between doing a mitzvah or doing an Aveira, between Avodas Hashem and not doing Avodas Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. We'll talk about that a lot more in the coming weeks in Derech Hashem. We'll explain that a lot more in detail. But Bechira Chofshit is the premise of Olam Hazeh. There's no point in being in this world if there isn't choice. And the only way that there's choice, if that light which needs to be here, if God's light was not here, we wouldn't exist. It's what gives us life. It's what continues to sustain the entirety of reality. It needs to be here, but if it was clear, then I wouldn't really be living a life. Because I wouldn't be able to express my free will and choose God, choose good, choose Tov. And so it's here, but it's Be'elam. In the Olam, it's He'elam. In the world, that light is hidden. To allow me to choose it. To make sure that I make the active choice of what I want to do in this world. That light has to be hidden for life to be meaningful. That's what he's saying here. Top of the next column. And those of us, lo aleinu, who gaze at this world with purely physical eyes, those of us who look at the world with a physical sight, we only see physicality, dark, heavy, thick physicality, that blinds us, that blocks us from seeing that infinite light. And we don't see godliness. We don't see that the world is filled with His glory. Because of the physicality that blocks that supernal light. And here's where he's getting to the point. Ukineged ze, he or Torah HaKadosha Shimeirat HaOlam, HaElam. Against this comes the Torah. The Torah is the greatest gift that we have. The Torah is the ability, it gives us the ability to light up our eyes and to be able to see the light of godliness in the world. That's the means by which we can truly see the world. See beneath that hiddenness, see beneath that veil of physicality, at the truth of godliness that lies right beneath the surface of the physical world that we live in. Uveora yabitu be'einayim ruchaniyot. With the light of Torah, we can see with spiritual eyes. Lirot or elokutoi parach hamistater betocha he'elam, to see the light of godliness which is right there inside of the hiddenness of the world. The ein od milvado, and that there's nothing but godliness. There's nothing but that light. The only thing that's real, the only thing that's meaningful is right beneath that surface, is the light of the infinite that gives us life, that connects to us. That's the reason that we're here. That's the only meaning in existence, because it gives us our existence. That allows us to see that truth. Ha'elam ha'chomri shel olam hu b'tchinat simtzum. The physical world, the hiddenness of the physical world, is a tzimtzum. It comes from a contraction. It comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu withholding himself, so to speak. Shekol chomer hu mitzimtzum bihirato mugdar umugbal, because all physicality comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, holding himself back, limiting himself, so to speak. Ve'arata ha'elam lirot et elokim mistatir betocha ester. And the Ha'arata Ha'elam, the light in that hiddenness, is to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's there within that darkness, within that hiddenness. He Yitziat Mitzimtzum LeMerchav Ein Sofi Gavoh Me'al Gavoh. It's letting the light explode, seeing that light of godliness come out. V'Zekoach HaTorah HaKadosha, that's the tremendous capacity of the Torah itself. HaMe'ira Kol Mach Shachim, that's able to light up all darkness. To take us out of any contraction that we have, any limitations that we have, any smallness of mind that we have, and open everything up infinitely. And that's why the Torah is the sustaining of the world. As it says, that if Klai Yisrael accept the Torah, if we don't accept the Torah, there's no reason for the world to be. There's no kiyum for the world, because that brings out the truth of the world that's beneath the surface. It's a crazy thing. You know, in next stages of life, like I mentioned before we even started, in the next stages of life, in Yirtzeh Hashem, you should feel this way. You should feel that you wish you could learn all day. You should feel like you wish you could just have another Seder of 15 minutes, half an hour, an hour, where you could be able to focus without the distractions of college, without the distractions of dating, without the distractions of grad school, without the distractions, in a positive way, of family and work. Without those distractions, you're going to wish for that. You're going to want for that. In Yirtzeh Hashem, you should. In Yirtzeh Hashem, a lot of people listening are. That's why they're listening to this in a car or walking down the street or between classes or whatever it is. Doing the dishes, getting ready for Shabbos, whatever person's listening. Why do we try to get it in? Because we want that. We feel we have it. We're thirsty for it. But sometimes when we're in it, when we're zocha to be sitting like we are here in a seminary in the womb of Torah, in a reality of Torah, where the only choice is, do I go to shir or do I not go to shir? That's my choice every hour and 15 minutes. That's the only real choice that I'm making. Every hour and 15 minutes, do I go to shir or do I not go to shir? And it's a real challenge, and I mean it in a deep way. It's a very real challenge of yeshiva life and seminary life. It's very hard, because you get regulated to it. We, by nature, that's not a judgment. We, by nature, we take it for granted, because we have access to it all the time. It makes it very challenging. Challenging to appreciate it. Challenging to recognize it. That which becomes regulated to us becomes hard to see the beauty of it. And at this time of year, for a lot of people, what ends up happening is, in a crazy way, we keep learning Torah. We keep taking beautiful notes in perfect sections. Right? We work really, really hard to make sure to do it in the right way. We show up to every shir. Doesn't matter if you're not feeling 100%. Yeah, there's flu going around and I might have it. But, not me personally. Right? I might have it. Talking about, oh, you don't know what's going on with you guys. Right? There's flu going around and I might have it. But technically I tested negative and I'm still here anyway because I'm going to show up. And there's tremendous mila in that. And yet, that could be any of you. And at the same time, sorry to say it this way, but at the same time, because we get regulated to it, we start to look at Torah with physical eyes. We start to feel like it's just another class. We start to feel like it's just another day. We start to feel like it's just another shir. No, it was interesting to me. I haven't gotten a chance. I think I can keep this on recording. Sorry if you're out there, if you think I'm talking about you. Probably not. So when I was just in America for a couple of weeks. Right? I was in America for a couple of weeks. Baruch Hashem, it's good. Nobody's able to go back or forth for a while. Enjoy Shana Aleph. It might be Shana Bet. You may never be able to go home. So that was a good thing. That was that. Guys have weird things that you're interested in right now. Good. Sorry for all of you who can't come. We miss you terribly. So I miss them. I miss our alum. I miss all of my alum. So I was there for the first time in a few months. I was by myself. I wasn't with my family because I was doing, you know, recruiting. And for the first time in a while, I got not just to learn on my own and learn what I wanted to learn, but I was in the car for a lot of time driving from state to state and school to school, and I listened to Shiurim. And I genuinely have not listened to Shiurim myself for, like, way too long. And I wanted to try to explore the wonderful world that's out there. So I went on an app, and I looked at all the speakers that I wanted to listen to. I made myself a playlist, and I'm going through. And I got to tell you, some of them were awesome. Some of them were amazing. Some of them were life-changing, and I got a lot more of their shiurim on my playlist. But I got to tell you, on the flip side, and I apologize if this is harsh, but I want to be honest, I want to be real. That was always a promise you from the beginning of the year, is that I'm always going to be real with you. There were a bunch of people, I did it by topic. There were certain topics I wanted to listen to. I wanted to listen to things about Asara Bateves, because I don't know if I mentally processed any of Asara Bateves. I was on like 6 planes that day. That's not true, 3. But I was on a lot of planes that day on Asara Bateves. Didn't really process that. So I wanted to try to get into it a little bit. And I love Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat's so close. Tu Bishvat's so close. Tu Bishvat's amazing. Tu Bishvat's unbelievable. And I wanted to get deeper into Tu Bishvat, so I got a ton of shirim on Tu Bishvat on there. And a few on the Parsha, because that's the thing also, right? So I got a few on the Parsha also. And I'm listening. Some of them were so amazing and so inspiring. But I got to tell you, some of the other ones. And I'm sitting there, I'm going like, you've got a captive audience. And you posted it. And this is like a cute idea. Torah's not cute ideas. My Rebbeim are very into this. Torah's not just a vort. Torah's not, there's no such thing as a vort. We live in a generation where Torah's been reduced to cute ideas. It's nice that the Torah says we can learn a beautiful message from this week's Parsha. That's nice, I guess. But to recognize that, like, when we treat Torah that haphazardly, we miss it. We miss the impact. I'm listening to some of these, and it was like basically like life advice that I found a pasuk to back up. And I'm like, but that's not what I came here for. I can go to TED Talks for life advice. I can go to psychologists on other forums for life advice. I don't need your life advice. You need to find a pasuk to back it up. I don't want a vort. When I at my Rebbe's house, when I go to my Rebbe for Friday night dinner. So every Friday night dinner, he always asks everybody to speak. The light, it's very beautiful. Again, speaking of the light, the inner light. So every Friday night at my Rebbe's house, at some point, and it's never the same time, the lights go out. Daf lights go out. It's always the thing. Nobody ever warns you about that. There's no spoilers there. Nobody ever tells you it's going to happen. You go the first time, you're like, what the heck is going on? Did the power go out? No, it's intentional. The lights go out. And so there's always some Shana Aleph guy there who hasn't been there before and goes, Rebbe, why'd the lights go out? And he just looks back and he says, what we're saying here, so we can really see. So we begin to really see. Meaning that we can let the Gashmias fall away and let the Or, let the light, the inner light come out. The Shabbos candles bringing out that inner light, the hidden light that we're talking about here. The light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Or Ein Sof, the Or Gunas come out a little bit. And he asks everybody to speak, but he doesn't say everybody, can you give me a Dvar Torah? Can you give me a Vort? He says, say a Torah. Say a Torah. And it could be 2 minutes or 1 minute or 5 minutes or 15 minutes. It doesn't matter. Say a Torah. We've become a Vort culture. Right? We've become a culture where like 270 characters is our limit of how much we can think or speak or talk or interact. So we do Torah in 270 character bytes also. And that's not necessarily healthy. I think it's very unhealthy. The fact that everybody can have a blog and write whatever they want and call it Torah, I think is unhealthy. The fact that we don't have to spell check or double check or edit or go over, the fact that we're expected to pump out shear after shear after shear after shear to stay on the top of consciousness and keep up with the way things go, it can become very destructive. And in a similar way, but very different, but similar. Even in seminary, first I finished the last point, right? It was just very striking to me, the concept that like, for so much of Torah that's out there is just like, it's an idea. Torah is not an idea. We have access to the infinite. We have the ability to open up our eyes and see the infinite light explode in reality, to peel back the veil of the olam, to peel back the he'olam, and see the Or Ein Sof itself. That's the capacity within Torah. And we're cheating ourselves as a Jewish people. We're cheating ourselves as a nation when we put out Torah, patented, packaged Torah, in nice little bite-sized chunks that are nice ideas. And I'm listening to other people, other Rebbeim, other people who are clearly, I mean, that this covers most of the world, but much, much higher, much, much loftier than me, really give over the essence of Tu B'Shvat, the meaning of Asara B'Tevet, what's really coming out in Parshat Vayechi. Not an idea, it's Torah. And when you hear that Torah, it opens your eyes. And the difference between sitting on a plane scrunched up because they keep on removing 1 inch at a time every single year until you're basically in an iron box, right? As you're sitting there scrunched up and you're listening to a shir that's a real Torah, you're not stuck in that box anymore. You close your eyes and you're in the infinite. When you're sitting in that car, you're not stuck behind that wheel for 3 hours getting from Maryland to New York. You're suddenly riding the road of the infinite. And it's a whole different thing. That's for all the rest of us out there. But for you guys in here, there's two sides of that. There's two sides of that. Side number one is, there's a deep responsibility on all of us, on all of those people who have the chutzpah to claim that they have a right to stand up here at the podium, at the shtender, and give over Torah. That I really try. I don't know if I would succeed. I really try. That I feel like every shir should be the best shir I've ever given. Every Torah we learned about, it should be the best chavrusa we've ever had. Why? Because we're learning Torah together. And it should be the ultimate all the time. Because I don't want to waste your time. And I don't want to waste my time. Because we could be touching the infinite together. Why would we do anything less than that? Why would we do anything? What would be the point? But on the flip side, to put some of the achrayas on you too, some of the responsibility on you too, it requires you to walk into that room ready to touch the infinite. If you walk into the brightest of rooms and you close your eyes and lock them shut, you won't gain from that light. It requires us to help make sure that that Torah is shining forth in all of its brilliance. And on us on the other side, to make sure to open our eyes and receive that. And at this time of year, we start to get a little sleepy. The sun rises in the seven. I remember what's in the States, it was crazy. In the States, it's like, I was jet lagged. So certain days I was got up like 4 a.m. and I was like, great, I'm going to daven Nates. What time's Nates? It's at 7:15. Really? 7:15? I'm going to be in the car already. I'm not allowed to daven today. Meaning like, it's like, it was nuts. But like the sun comes, again, I haven't even regulated to the Zmanim back here in Eretz Yisrael. But at 7:15 to 4:30 p.m., there's so little light out. Wherever in the world we are now, there's so little light out. It feels dark. It's getting cold. It's about to get, which is a bracha, but it's about to get rainy here for a bunch of days, from now until Shabbos. It's about to get rainy. It's about to get colder. It's about to get darker. And when we're in that zone, we're just, we feel like we're getting a little sleepy, and our eyes are closing. And even if we're taking amazing notes, and even if we're pushing through the sick and showing up to shir, we may be physically present. Our finger may be moving across the page. But we need to dig deep to open up our eyes. If the shir deserves it, and hopefully you all have signed up for shir that you feel deserves it. Because you deserve it. That if you're in that shir, which is trying to give over a little bit of that light, to open up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to open up your heart, and to allow the light of the infinite in. That's what this time of year is about. Tu B'Shvat's coming. Let's talk Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat's coming. How are you not excited about Tu B'Shvat? What did they steal from you in Chutz La'aretz? Tu B'Shvat's the ultimate. What's happening right now? We're about to walk into, what day is today? What day is today? I have no idea. Sunday. It's only Sunday? Holy cow. Okay, so we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What's looking like around 5 days of rain coming. Bezrat Hashem, it's a huge bracha in Eretz Yisrael. What's a little bit, a taste of what Tu B'Shvat is about? And we'll talk about it more over time and we'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see. I always do a Tu B'Shvat Seder. I don't know if I'll do it. We did it here last year, but that was because of Corona. We'll see what happens. Oh, Tu B'Shvat Seder. four cups of grape juice, obviously. Don't drink any wine. Four cups of wine. Four cups of wine, fruit, and grape. Oh, the beauty of Tu B'Shvat. But a little, what's a little bit of Tu B'Shvat about? And it's this time of year. But to think about it, meaning I'm going to talk about it on Tu B'Shvat, but let's beat it. Let's do it right till we get to Tu B'Shvat. Let's not look back and wonder why we didn't do it better when we get to Tu B'Shvat. This time of year is when? This time of year is when the rain comes down. This is when it's pouring. On the outside, it's pouring. And what are the trees doing in this time of year? The trees, the job of the trees in this time of the year is to take all of that rain and soak up all of that rain. And on Tu B'Shvat, we'll talk about it more, but on Tu B'Shvat, Rashi brings down based on a Gemara in the middle of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that at Tu B'Shvat, the tree is basically judged on the fact that it took all of that rainwater and it transformed it into sweet sap that's going to make the fruit. That's what's happening on Tu B'Shvat. It's judged on how much rainwater it took in from all the floods that are going to come down. How much rainwater did it take in? And how much did it take that rainwater and turn it into sap, and that sap produces fruit? Hear it, because in 1 month's time, the Torah tells us, ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh, that a person is like the tree of the field. That's the foundation of Tu B'Shvat. The pasuk which says, ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh, in the end of Parshat Shoftim in Sefer Devarim, ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh, that a man is like a tree of the field. We're all trees. What's one of the primary ways that we are all like trees is what's happening right now. What's happening right now. We're sitting here in yeshiva, in seminary, in Eretz Yisrael, and the rain is coming down. That rain, that water, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. The Torah is flowing. The Torah is flowing and pumping hours and hours a day. And you know what we're being judged on Tu B'Shvat? We're judged on how much of that water, how much of that Torah did we take in? How much of it did we make sweet inside of ourselves? Did we bring in and make a part of ourselves and make it sweet? Did we bring out that Or Ein Sof inside of ourselves? How much did we bear fruit in this world, in our minds, in our lives, in our hearts, in our midos, from that water, from that Torah? But yeah, it's an avoda. It's an avoda to draw that Torah in, to draw that water in. It's an avoda to make it sweet. It's inherently there. The water can be made into sap, but I need to do it. I need to take it in and find that sweetness that is there. It's definitely sweet, but I need to find it. I need to make that happen. I need to turn it into sap. That's what makes me bear the fruit of Torah and avoda and mitzvot and chesed in my life. But only if I draw it in, and the rains are coming. Literally, metaphorically, the rains are coming. And the achrayus, the responsibility is on me. You guys just push me. You guys are in 30 for 30. We said I missed the first 10 days. I was in Cliff Starts. We're doing 20 for 20. 20 days, an hour a day, extra learning. Pulling in more of that rainwater. But it's not just about the quantity. It's about the quality. It's about making it sweet. It's about seeing the light of the infinite that's inside of it. It's about bringing that out. It's about bearing fruit. Every single person in this room, every single person listening, every single one of us, we have fruits of Torah, fruits of avoda, fruits of mitzvot, fruits of chesed. We all have those fruits, fruits of tefillah. Where does that come from? Where does the life force for the Torah and the mitzvot and the tefillah and the chesed, where does it come from? It comes from me drawing in that rain, learning about tefillah, learning about Torah lishma. Learning about the Parsha, learning Gemara, learning Mishnah, learning Halacha, learning Chassidus, learning Ashkafa, drawing it in, making it sweet, and that's what produces that fruit. We're getting pre-Tu B'Shvat here. This is the road to Tu B'Shvat. This is the road to true Limud Torah. This is what it's all about. This is what the winter is all about. It's dark and it's cold, but it's a time when we draw it all in, inside, internal. It's dark, yeah, because I'm lighting my internal light. I'm bringing out that internal Or Pnimi. I'm bringing out that internal light, that Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Or Ein Sof. I'm letting that come into me and come out and start to shine inside of me, inside of that private darkness in my life, that private personal space that the darkness affords me in my life. But all of that's a possibility. I can close my eyes to that. I cannot go to Shir. I cannot take notes. I cannot learn. I could not do that. I could reject the rainwaters. I could deny its transformation into sap and to bear fruit. I could not go to shear. I can go and close my ears. I can go and close my eyes. I can go and close my heart. That's up to me. That's entirely up to me. But this is what we have the ability to access. This is what the regularity of Shana Aleph, or wherever we are in life, the regularity of life, the day in and day out, the daily grind can get us to. It's not appreciate the Torah that we have. We need to make that real. We need to make sure that what we're learning is worth it, because Torah is worth it, to be clear. If what we're learning is not worth it, it's not on the Torah, it's on the person who's giving over the Torah. Got to make sure that the Torah is worth it, and got to make sure that I'm really taking it in. And we need a punch in the arm to make that happen, to remind ourselves why we're here, what we're doing, Torah Lishma. It's why we came for the year, it's why we came into this world. It's what we're meant to be doing this year, it's what we're doing for life. Drawing in those waters, producing those fruits. Next paragraph. The Alzamru Chazal, and about this Chazal say, Shoto or Elokut Shesh Samim Bayom Arishon, that or Elokut, that or of Hashem, Shesh Shimesh Bayom Arishon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu utilized on the first day of creation, meaning we've talked about this in the past, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. The first thing, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu create on the first day? Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. The first thing he creates is light, but that's a problem. Because where does light come from? The sun. Light comes from the sun. Really? Light comes from the sun. When does the sun get created? On day four. On day four. So where did this light come from? So Chazal understand from this that the light that was created on the first day isn't the physical light that we're familiar with. The light that was created on the first day, Shoto or Elokut Shashimesh B'yom HaRishon, that the light that was created on the first day, Shadam Tzofe Umabit Bo Bisof HaOlam V'Ad Sofo, it was a supernal light, a godly light, a light that the Gemara says you can see from one end of the earth to the other. What does it mean? Does it mean that if I look straight ahead, unobstructed, my vision will go around the world and I'll just see my back? Like, what does it mean? I can see it. You can see from one end of the other. It doesn't mean literally one end of the world to the other. It means that with this light, you could see the essence of the world, the essence of reality, understand reality from beginning to end. Lo haya ha'olam kedai lo. But the world, it wasn't proper for the world to have this incredible, supernal light. The Amad v'ganzola amalei Torah, says the Gemara. Says the Midrash. Yeah, Midrash don't call itself the Gemara. Says the Midrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that light, and one of the places that he hid that light, he hid it in the Torah itself. For those who toil and work to understand Torah. Again, to reiterate the point, I'm sorry to keep coming back to this, but it's very deeply in my heart. I was really, really disturbed by some of the shirim that I listened to. Right? It's there for amalei Torah. It's there for people who really work at it. No quick fixes. No cheat sheets. There's no cheat way through or around Torah. For amalei Torah, people who are there to sit down and to work, and whether you're listening to a shir is fine, but to listen to the shir, to focus during the shir, to take notes during the shir, to go over those notes, to internalize the message, to make it real, to double check the sources, to follow along inside. To go and sit down with the chavruta and not just read a sefer. Chas v'shalom lo aleinu. You should never, ever, ever read a sefer. You can quote me on that, but please in context. Which is, you should learn a sefer. We don't read svarim. We learn svarim. We don't read Torah. We work at Torah. We say in the morning, Asher kideshanu mizotavet zivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. We're osik in it. We toil in it. We work at it. That's where the light comes out. And you see, on another level, so many people who don't feel the light of Torah, they're reading Torah. Whether they're just reading the art school side of English commission, if you can't read Hebrew, that's fine. But learn it, don't read it. Even if you're reading the English, learn it, don't read it. You see people just reading the English side of a Tanakh. You see people taking out a Gemara and reading the art school side of a Gemara. You see people taking out an English translation of a Sefer, written by some of the Gedolim of all generations, and they're reading it through. Torah is not there to be read, it's there to be learned. And when you read it and you treat it superficially, that not speaking to any of you personally, your superficiality, generic, your superficiality will reflect right back to you. And it'll make the Torah feel superficial, but it's not superficial. In a very striking midrash, based on a pasuk at the end of Chumash, the end of Sefer Devarim, the pasuk says, "V'im davar reku mikem." And the Gemara says, "What does that mean?" What does that mean? "V'im davar the Torah im reku mikem." It says that if you see v'im reku, if the Torah seems empty to you, mikem hu reik. It's empty because of you. It's not empty. You're superimposing. You're projecting your emptiness onto Torah, which is inherently meaningful. Torah is not meant to be read. Torah is not meant to be skimmed. Torah is not meant for bite-sized chunks. Torah is meant to be learned, to be thought about, to be internalized, to be lived, to make it a part of my life. That takes work. That takes toil. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it, V'amad v'ganzola amalei Torah. I get very frustrated by it. I hear it more on the other side, from the other place I work at. I hear it from more on the other side, right? Which is, it's a normal part of the Shana Aleph process, a normal part of the Shana Aleph process. Rabbi, I'm reading all this stuff. I'm reading this book. I'm reading that book. And it's like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, I don't care. It's like, of course you don't care. You're a punk guy who just walked off the boat, who doesn't care about anything. And you're looking at the Torah and seeing yourself. Can't say that to them, but I can say it now to you, and it makes me feel better. That's what I want to say to them. I gotta say it a little bit more nicely than that. But all of us at a certain point in our lives, that's how we feel when we look at a sefer and it's looking back at us. And it's hard to see that reflection in the mirror, because we don't even know they're looking in the mirror. If it's empty, it's because we're projecting our emptiness onto the Torah. The Torah itself is meaningful. Or we're reading a sefer that projected its emptiness into the Torah. And we need to dig deeper. Because if we're amal, if we toil, if we work, if we're osei, that brings out the light. We've given this mashal before. I was zochet to get this mashal of the Ramchal from Rav Yaakov Katz Shlita. Rav Yaakov Katz told me personally when I was struggling with this topic. He said, when you go into the Torah, I'm sure I've mentioned this here before, but again, it's a mashal to be repeated again and again and again, to hear it, to internalize it. He says, based on the Ramchal, that the Torah is like a gechelet esh. The Torah is like a coal. A coal is black. It's dead. It's cold. What makes it have light? What makes it have fire? What makes it have heat? You take it and you stoke it and you move it and you turn it. Says Rav Yaakov Katz, the name of the Ramchal. He says, that's what Torah is. If you let Torah sit there, the Torah will be black and dead like a coal. But that's not the Torah's fault. It's up to us to come along and to take that Torah and to learn it together, to talk about it, to move it, to spin it. We talked about this in Hanukkah time. To move it, to spin it like a dreidel. To move it, to turn that coal. To bring out that light. To bring out that fire. To bring out that heat. But that comes from what we bring to the table. We need to bring out that light. We need to bring out that fire. That's on us. And if it's not there, it's not because there's not the capacity for it. Of course it does. It's Torah. It's infinite. It's the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Or Ganos. It's the Or Ein Sof. If it's not coming out, it's because I'm not bringing it out. And that's up to me. To turn it and move it, and the more I move it and turn it and move it and turn it, the more it comes out. That's up to me. V'lachin. Ketiv ner mitzvah v'torah or, and therefore it says, the pasuk says that we talked about before, ner mitzvah v'torah or. A mitzvah is like a candle, but the Torah is like a fire. The heat in this room. The Torah is like a fire. V'himshilu chazal ha-mitzvot l'ner, and chazal went out of their way to compare a mitzvah to a candle. V'ha-matzil min abarot, which can save us from falling into a pit. Aval ein matzilo min alisim, but it can't stop the bandits from attacking us. Heim, heim, kochot atzuma. What does it mean, the bandits that are going to attack us in the mashal? What's the nimshal? The negative forces. The tum'ah, the impurity, the tum'ah of the world that's out there, that's trying to attack us. Those are those listim. Those are those bandits. It's the tum'ah of the world. It's the tum'ah that's out there in the world. It's the negative forces, the sitra akra. They're out there and trying to attack us. Hamastirim et miyuhudi et ora lokutoi parach hamimale et kol abriya, that are holding back, trying to steal from us the light of God that fills the whole world. How do we save ourselves from that? that a mitzvah is not strong enough to save us from. That a mitzvah is not going to light the way to keep us safe from. V'rak al yidei ora Torah, only through the light of the Torah itself. Shibichinat he'ir hayom, which has an aspect of this or of the like the light of day. As ta'ir eretz mikvodecha, then the whole world lights up from the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al yidei ha-Torah kedosha niyeh olam ha-tikun v'ruach ha-tumah avir min ha-aretz. By learning Torah, we mamish remove all of the tumah from the world and fix the world in the way that it was meant to be and bring out that light. V'lachein nikra'u ha-sanhedrin einei ha-kahal. And that's why, in the Pasuk in Vayikra, it refers to the Sanhedrin. It refers to the great, to the Supreme Court in Judaism, to the great court, as the Einei HaKal, as the eyes of the people, the eyes of the congregation. Ki kol evrei ha'adam heim mugbalim, because all parts of the body are limited. Vilu ha'inayim misugalot lirot mirechavim, every part of the body is limited. I can walk to a certain distance. I can reach out to a certain distance. But my eyes can go so much farther than that. Our eyes give us the capacity to see distances and depths that no other part of ourselves can reach. And we need to open those spiritual eyes to see the depth and the breadth of the light of Torah, the light of the world that Torah allows us to see. Our eyes are so powerful, they can see from one end of the world to the other. They can see the meaning in every aspect of reality if we open them up to that. Through the lenses of the Torah, through the glasses of the Torah, through the prism of the Torah. And don't let the negative forces, the tum'ah, block our eyes from being able to see that. The Alder Shamar David HaMelech Hallelujah Tashem Min HaShemayim VeGomer. Like David HaMelech says, we say in the Pesuk in Zimra, Hallelujah Tashem Min HaShemayim, praise to God from the heavens. Hallelujah, next page. Et Hashem Min HaAretz, to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu from the land. Taninim V'chol Tomot, the sea creatures and all the depths. Hayarim V'chol Agvaot, all the mountains, all the valleys, everything is praising the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Where does that come from? Hear it. Shehu zacha lirot oro yitbarach bechol habriya min hashamayim ushmei hashamayim min haaretz mehataninim bechol tomot v'chulei. Because he saw Or Hashem in the Shamayim, and he saw Or Hashem in the Aretz, and he saw Or Hashem in the oceans. Everywhere he looked, what did David HaMelech see? All he saw was Or Hashem. And so it's all coming out to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because it's all Or Hashem itself. He saw the whole world as godliness. Where did he get that vision from? That all comes from the Torah. That allows us to see that. That's the beauty and the depth of what we're learning. Every single minute that we're learning Torah here, or wherever we may be, when we open up and genuinely toil and work and open up that Torah and turn that coal, turn the Torah, let that light, let that heat, let the Or Ein Sof come out, we see the godliness in the world. We see the godliness in the world. We see the whole world mamish tavling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu. For im koach ha-po'el b'chol ha-nif'al, we see everything that exists only exists because a Kadosh Baruch Hu wills it to exist. This chair is here because a Kadosh Baruch Hu wills it to exist. And I train my eyes to see He who wills it within it itself. When I look at that chair, I see godliness, because if God is willing that chair to exist, I see He who wills it in that which is being willed. I see the Po'el and the Nifal. I see the one who causes it in that which is caused in reality. I see its source. I see its depth. And that's all through the light of the Torah. I usually quote this in a different context, but it was such a powerful story to me. I was sitting in the car one time, the Rebbe, he would come to the States, he would come to Chutz La'aretz, to do Shabbaton for the yeshiva. He would come for the yeshiva Shabbaton that they would do in the five towns. Say the word five towns. he would come in to do a Shabbaton. He would come in for the Shabbaton that they would do there. And often people would try to, like, you know, fight to be the one to drive him around. So I took it that time, because I know that everybody fights to drive him around, because I was like, great, we're going to be locked in a car for 3 hours and I can unload all my problems onto him for the next 3 hours straight. And I'm like, dude, he just got off a plane. He's exhausted. He's going to be on for an entire Shabbaton dealing with all his problems. I want to drive him around so that way we don't have to talk, because I'm not a good conversation. And we could just sit there, and if he wants talking Tosha, if he wants to sleep, he can sleep. Like, I just wanted to, like, he's impossible to give him anything. I wanted to give him space. I want to give him a little bit of space. And so there were times he was quiet, and there were times he wanted to talk. Whichever was good for him, that was fine. I took him out all day on that Friday. But a lot of that conversation I will remember forever. But one point that came out that really stuck with me. So we're driving, if anybody's familiar with the roads there, we're driving on the highway that goes from Queens to Woodmere, from Queens to Woodmere. And on that road, there's like endless fields of just like boring wheat. You know what I'm talking about? Those endless like wheat fields on the sides behind the gates.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, right? Those endless fields of wheat. So we're driving down there, and he stops me, and he goes, we're in the middle of conversation. He goes, Robbie, stop for a second. Do you see? I said, see what? He says, You see those things that are growing out of the ground? You see those? I guess I think that they're wheat. They're probably not wheat. See those wheat that's coming out of the ground? I said, yeah. I'm like, we're definitely looking at different things, but sure. It's like, yeah. He said, you see what they're doing? I'm like, no. He's like, I said, they're blowing. They're moving. The wind's moving a little bit. He said, no, Robbie. How do you not see? He said, look at them. They're waving back and forth. They're shuckling. It's Friday afternoon. They're shuckling. They're all singing. They're all singing Kabbalah Shabbos. They're all waiting to be Mekabel Shabbos. He looks at the most boring, dull wheat field and sees them moving in the wind. He sees the world being Mekabel Shabbos Kodesh on a Friday afternoon. I see a bunch of dead wheat. He sees a bunch of wheat alive and singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because I don't have Torah and he does. Because he takes that Torah in and he looks at the world and he sees that or. He sees that light. He sees the or Ein Sof and everything. And that's why he's my Rebbe. That's why I chose him as my Rebbe. To be able, because he has those eyes, he has that vision, and I try to tap into that vision. I try to aspire for my own vision, but my vision, a vision to be like his vision. One day, maybe, probably not, but maybe, I aspire for that. That's what we can see. That's not a story about some ancient Rebbe in the 1500s or the 1000s or a Tana or an Amora. That's somebody who's living and breathing in Yerushalayim today. That's how he sees the world. That's how we can see the world. And that comes from the Torah. That comes from the Torah. Okay. You should know they voted to keep going. That's why we're keeping on going. They voted to keep going. Got 5 minutes left. Let's do it. Let's see if we can get in bets. Bet. We got this. 5 minutes. Here we go. Ready to move?
Yeah.
All right. Continues on as the Yehoshua Solomon says in Oat Bets. Not a chance. Ain't slowing down. Here we go. V'katav Rambam. Talmid shegala le'ir miklat. The Rambam says that a Talmud, that if a person, lo aleinu, if anybody who is not familiar with an ir miklat is, when lo aleinu, a person accidentally kills somebody else, they need to go and run away to a city of refuge, an ir miklat, and they have to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. They have to remain there until the Kohen Gadol dies. If they kill somebody intentionally, they get thrown out of the ir miklat and executed. But if they kill somebody accidentally, they have to stay there in the ir miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. That's their punishment for having accidentally killed someone and not taken the meaning of life significantly enough. But in any event, so one of the halachos is, Talmid shegalal yir miklat, that if a student is sent away to an yir miklat, migalin lerabo imo, we make his Rebbe go with him. His Rebbe's got to go to the yir miklat with him. Shine emar, as it says, v'chai asa lo kidei shetichye. V'chaye ba'alei ha-chokhma mevakshei ba'alei talmud Torah kimita chashuvin arkan l'shono. I didn't totally understand that, but Seder. The Rambam says that that brings down the fact that the Talmud has to go with him. The Hainu, what does this mean? Kibli Talmud Torah, lo me'ir alehem or lo kotoy barach. Because without Talmud Torah, if the guy gets exiled and he goes to the city of refuge, but he doesn't have Torah, he doesn't have anything, he doesn't have life. The Chaim ki... There's no light of a Kaddish Baruch Hu with him. It's like he's dead. He can't go without Torah. He can't live without Torah. We can't survive without Torah. So much so that if somebody's exiled to a city of refuge because they killed someone, then the Rebbe's got to go with him because he needs Torah or he's not alive. It's a death sentence to send him to your miklat if you send him without Torah. Chazal say, Suma Chashuv Kemes. That on some level, we're not going to get into now, but on some level, somebody who lacks the ability to see is an aspect of death there. That life comes from sight. We're alive in a different way, Baruch Hashem, because everybody here can see. Baruch Hashem is those that can see. Hey, yot sheino ro'et, or harehu besi hatzimtzum ve'ino margish lato v'huat Something kames. That when a person can't see it's like they're dead because they can't experience the world fully in the same way, in the way of real life. He says, the hefresh bein. The hefresh bein, am haaretz. The hefresh bein, am haaretz, l'talmid chacham. Ki yitron ha-piyakeach ala suma. The advantage of a talmid chacham over an am haaretz is like the advantage of a person who can see versus a person who's blind. Ha'ama aretz hu kesumah. The person who has no Torah, they're blind. Shachomer mastir mimenu et ora lokutoi barach hanimsa betoch kol abriah. Because the physicality of this world hides the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's in reality. Uveriato hamitzumsemet. And from that person's limited view, ro'e rak et atzmo. He only sees himself. That Hatamid Chacham Ora Torah Meir Bo Lirot Et Ora Lokuto, but Hatamid Chacham has the light of Torah. He mamish is able to see with that light, with the light of godliness. V'ra'eh be'ofkim Ein Sofim Misov Alam Ve'Osvo. We see mamish with a vision from one end of the world to the other. Umavato al Olam Umelo'o Humabet Ruchani La'i Belitzim Tumugval. When we have that ability again. A person who doesn't have Torah, it's like a person who's blind. We're walking around, we're fumbling through this world, and all we really know, because we can't see anything, all we really know is ourselves. We're totally self-obsessed. We're totally self-absorbed. We're living in the moment. There is no meaning in life beyond myself, which means there is no meaning at all. And when I have Torah, I have the light to be able to see the real world that's underneath that surface. That's real life. That's the only thing that's real. It's seeing past the sheker. It's seeing past the lie of the physical world. Seeing the godliness that's within, because that's all that's real. That's all there truly is. And a life that's lived, that's a lie, isn't a life at all. The only real life we have is a life that's lived in the context of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the light of truth. That's the light of reality as it truly exists. And when I have that light, I can see. And I'm truly alive. Last paragraph. The Alzer Nu Chazal say about this. Barati Yitzer Hara. Uvarati Lo Torah Tzavlin. I created, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I created the Yitzer Hara, and I created the Torah as a spice, as an antidote for the Yitzer Hara. Ikar Koach HaYitzer Litzamsemu Lissanver Riyato Shel Adam. The main goal of the Yitzer Hara is to constrict and to blind the ability of us to see. To only see physicality, to only see with my physical self. And the Gemara tells us that a person only does an avera. The only way we could do an avera is if a spirit of stupidity goes through our minds. Because if we had clarity of vision, if we had clarity of mind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and He created me. I'm here for a purpose, and my ultimate goal, which we're going to talk about in Derech Hashem, my ultimate goal of why I'm here is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and why that is, and what that means. If I have that clarity, how could I ever sin? So I only sin when a spirit of stupidity goes through my mind, and I forget all of that. I'm blinded to all of that by the Yetzer Hara. I'm blinded to all of that by the physicality. That's the only way I can sin at all. Uvarati Torah Tavlin, but the Torah is the antidote to all of that. Sheba'ora Torah, the light of the Torah. Hama'ira einayim ro'eh ora lokutoi parach. It allows me to see godliness. Umasig mabat acher al kol abriah. To see with a vision, a clarity of vision, the entire world. V'ad shekol inyanei ta'avat olam hazeh akol hevel. That I can see with clarity that all of the desires, that all of this physicality of this world is nothing. It's nothing. It looks appetizing. It tricks me to thinking that it's appetizing. It's enticing. It's interesting. It's exciting. It's not. It's fleeting. It's momentary. It's meaningless. It's selfish. It's destructive. It's all nothing. The only thing it is hurtful. The only thing it is destructive. And I don't have the eyes to see that, but the Torah gives me the eye to see that clarity. To see how disgusting it is to go after the physical world. Kimamar Maran, Zikotelin Beis Avraham, as the Slonimer says, Beberush Bimiti Li Nehora Vitachfi Lechon Behata. Be'etcha Kadosh Baruch Hu Meir Liyudi Techase Az Chashkut Ubusha Et Kol Inyanei HaTa'avot Olam Hazeh. That at the moment when a Kadosh Baruch Hu lights me up, that I could see with the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. then the darkness is all goes away. And there's an embarrassment by all of the desires, the meaningless desires of Olam Hazeh. They're all embarrassed and run away. We see the meaninglessness. Kol Advarim. Shebnei Adam wrote Fim Achareihem, the people run after. Last sentence. This light is the antidote of the Torah that comes against the Yitzhara. Shabiladav achzira ta'olam the Torah, that without it, the whole world goes back to nothingness. Ha'olam kulohu olam atohu. It's all nothing without that light of Torah that lets us see the true light within. Where do we start from and how do we end? Where do we start from? We're in the darkest time of the year. We're in that middle section of the year, where I don't feel like I'm the excitement that I just started my learning. I just started my year in Israel. I just started my Shana Aleph. I just started my Shana Bet. I just started my semester of college. I just started my semester of graduate school. I just started my beginning of my work year in work, whatever it is. There's that excitement. New chavrusas, new learning, new shiurim, new ideas, new goals, new drives, new visions. All of those things. We're at the halfway point. This is where everything begins to sag. This is where everything begins to get dark. This is the darkest time of the year. And we need to be mechazik ourselves, strengthen ourselves from within, to open up our eyes and see the gifts that are our moments to learn, whether they're moments, hours, or whole days. The gift of that, to tap into that, to draw that in, to see the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's lighting up my life, lighting up my mind, lighting up my heart, lighting up the world, to see the meaning in everything. To see the truth in everything. To see the light of godliness in everything. It's on me to not just learn Torah Lishma, but to give life to myself. To draw it in and give life to myself like a tree. Give myself, sweeten it, bear fruit with it. To give myself life and light through that Torah Lishma. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us with the opportunities to continue to learn, to mamish learn Torah, to learn Torah and be osek in Torah, and to be osek in Torah Lishma, and not just to be osek in Torah Lishma, but to let it fill us, guide us, light us up, to be able to live, to truly live in this world, and that it should lead us to Ula B'Zachem Mir B'Aminu.